Welcome to episode 28 of the Pokemon Gold podcast.
Oh, it's a beautiful goal, isn't it? A beautiful goal.
What a save!
Messi enganchó como le gusta, él probó con zurda.
Morta again, another time, the shot on the button.
Oh, what a goal! What a goal that is!
What a goal from David Beckham!
Oh, Zinedine, la passa.
Different class.
My name is James Carew, co-editor of Pokemon Goal, Ireland's only football magazine. The podcast returns after some time away, and you can toggle back wherever you get your pods for previous episodes. Check out pokemongoal.bigcartel.com for past issues, sportswear, scarves, and exclusively designed footballs, among other items. There's one story dominating football headlines in Ireland, so let's jump right in. On today's episode, I'm joined by Dave O'Grady, who now works in the aviation industry in London, but is a former prolific podcaster covering many sports, but especially football, including on radio in Dublin, with Goal.com, and as presenter of the Why Big Football Show, connected to the popular Irish Fans Forum. Welcome to the Pokemon Goal podcast, Dave.
Thanks a mil, James. It's been a while, to say the least.
Yes, it's good to hear your voice back on the airwaves. As we do with all our guests on the podcast, we like to first ask how they first got into football or were got interested in the sport.
Yeah, well, I guess for me, James, it's gone back a good few years now, and always, you know, I was always in football. Aston Villa was my club for my sins, I guess, back in after the Italian 90 World Cup. I remember asking the question to people, where do all these Irish players, what clubs do they play for? And I was told Aston Villa, you know, the Steve Staunton's, Paul McGrath's, Ray Houghton's and stuff like that. So that kind of got me into football at the start. Obviously, I played as a kid as well, but I followed it right through the years. And Irish football was always a big thing. From, I think, the first match I went to in Dublin for Ireland, might have been Ireland-Bolivia in a friendly, and we left right before, I think that was 93, before the 94 World Cup. Okay. And we left just before Ireland scored that winning goal because we heard the cheers. I also went to an Ireland-Man United testimonial match in Lansdowne Road where I think Man United won 2-0. And that, again, very young at the time, but always a big football, actually always a big sport head, to be honest with you, James. And I followed that up, and media was my thing in college. And from that, I really got into sports radio, sports media, and I kind of got into the world of podcasting, I guess, because it before it became cool and before it became a thing, and that grew legs and had a lot of good fun with that. But like all of us, James, and well, like most of us in the media industry, we had to nip in and out and get a real job, we'll say. So but yeah, keep a close eye on everything all the time.
Yeah, you do, and you built up huge followings over those years, and I joined you a couple of times on the Why Big podcast, which again, yeah, really always close to the Irish team, a huge kind of active fans forum. But yeah, you now live in London, like myself, and you work in the aviation industry. So where has been the best destination you've ever been to watch a sporting event or a football event?
I guess I've been to many, many different places. Living here in London, sport is everywhere. I always say England and London even could probably host, you know, a major tournament like tomorrow. They've got the infrastructure right there. You see what they've done with the American football now coming, and Tottenham Hotspur and things like that. Incidentally, I live down the road from Brentford Stadium. I live the closest kind of football grounds to me would be the Brentford Community Stadium, and also I think it's Loftus Road, QPR. So I often find a lot of fans around the area. I'm in West London here. I think there's a lot of good good locations. You can go to the States. I often love taking in a sporting event in the US, whether it be American football. I've been to a couple of NFL games. And France, I have a soft spot for France. I've been already at Rugby World Cup this year. And I was at the European Championships back in 2016 when the Irish were there. And I just love the... I don't know the je ne sais quoi about the place. It's it's a lot of culture. And I think what I particularly like about France is the diversity, because there's people there from all over the world. You never know who you're going to meet. So everybody has a background. Everybody has a story to tell.
Yeah, I go along with France, and the Irish football team has had some great battles with France, infamous and famous, as we know. And as we're recording, the Irish football team has just lost to France and the Netherlands in a Euro qualifier doubleheader. And very much the focus of Irish football now is on the manager, Stephen Kenny. And we've spoken at length on this podcast about him and his rise and the type of individual he is.
In Athens, he's trailing it down the middle.
So 5 wins in 25. That's a summary of the Stephen Kenny era.
To Basunu with a flying save.
We're here to qualify for a tournament.
If you look at other nations, is Allen so much worse?
Asuras is in!
What we've had hasn't been good enough. Just isn't good enough.
There comes a point where you can't justify it no more.
Now that our manager has had the support or the resources.
Now where do we go from here?
I'm not too sure.
But he's been found out now. He's had enough time in the job. We need to start looking at other options.
Win and Kenny stays in. Lose and we're gone out the Euros and he's gone as well.
Time for Stephen Kenny to go.
He's out of his depth.
Stephen he's a great football man and he has a clear picture in his head about how football should be played. Now, I admire him for that.
I know we haven't got the players. This is the worst group of players in my lifetime, yeah.
What's your take on the current international environment around the football team after these results and Stephen Kenny?
Well, I think for a lot of those outside of Ireland, I guess, that might not know Stephen Kenny, he came in from the Ireland under 21 side, and prior to that he was the manager of Dundalk that were very successful qualifying for the Europa League and did quite well against teams that were a lot better than him. So he was quite known in Irish football circles, but maybe not so much in around the place. And I think at the time, Irish fans really were hoping for a manager that would be go against the grain a little bit, somebody that had Irish football's best interest at heart. And so much so we got it. But from what we've seen so far is, I guess, similar to the last two managers, the likes of the second coming of Mick McCarthy and Martin O'Neill, it is one of the highest, if not the highest pressured jobs in Irish sport. I think there's no doubt about it, James. It's the most talked about job in Irish sport. And I think Irish football fans are a little bit different to, say, your standard fans in England, where in Ireland, a lot of us follow, say, the Premier League. And while we might have our own teams in the Premier League, a lot of us will also follow, you know, other games in the Premier League and down below in the Championship, purely to watch Irish players. Now, I don't think they do that in England. I don't think they do that from Spain or Germany and a lot of other countries. So there's such a key focus. I think there's been a bit of a media circus around it. I am probably like a lot of Irish people when watching the team. My view and opinion has been a bit like a roller coaster. You know, you get on it, you're excited, things happen, then it goes downhill very quickly, then it goes up again and you're a little bit excited, and then you're kind of let down very quickly again. Very, very tough job. I do think it might be coming to an end if by the time you release the show, there might be a statement made. I'm not sure, but I think it's going to be a very challenging situation. Let's just say that.
Yeah, so I want to get into it and I want to play devil's advocate a little bit. So Kenny has had some abysmal results. We've been beaten by the likes of Armenia. And at the time when we lost to Luxembourg, it was seen as this kind of like earth-shatteringly embarrassing, which has since, you know, Luxembourg have done a lot better since then, and kind of it has grown into a conversation about investment as well. But his record hasn't been good. He cannot get them to win. This is now kind of the third tournament where we're basically out of it after 3-4 games. On purely results terms, he has had time. For the purposes of just being a little bit different, where everybody says he should go, even he should go now and not see out the rest of this campaign, I thought it might be interesting in the first instance to argue why he should stay. And I think it will take us down a road that you and I have talked before about what do we want from Irish football? What do we want from the structures and the underage structures and the pyramid, where traditionally we've basically just farmed out our best kids to England as teenagers? That has stopped for a number of reasons. It has stopped because English clubs can now get kids from all over the world. And it has stopped because of Brexit. So Irish football, whether by design or accident, is changing. I'll put that question to you. Where would you stand on changing him now? And what would be the argument to actually keep him in post?
Yeah, I think I'm of the view, and I've tried to assess my view over the last few months because it's changed quite a bit. I was always in the Kenny Inn camp. I know when he got the job, James, so many people said, no, he's not cut out for it. And a lot of those were the Big Sam advocates and things like that. So before a ball was even kicked in the Stephen Kenny era, there was people wanting him out. I was always Kenny Inn. And also I saw what he, at the early doors, I saw what he was trying to do, and I was very much backing it. And even with a few dodgy results, I felt that you take the pain now, short-term pain for long-term gain. And I was really excited about that, because a lot of structures had been put in place from when Rude Doctor came in and changed the kind of structures and kind of introduced the Underage League of Ireland, which I know caused a little bit of controversy at the time where they conflicted with the schoolboy football. But ultimately, it was a good thing. You look at the players that were able to be fast-tracked through ranks, where otherwise, if they hadn't gone to England, say, by 16, they may never have made it. They would have turned to the alcohol and things like that. So I think we've saved a number of quality footballers coming through. Stephen Kenny in the 21s, I thought, was the perfect tonic for what we were trying to do. All our underage teams changed that 4-3-3 formation. And I thought, okay, we've got a bit of a pathway here. And when I saw that first game, which I know he was given the playoff, but then he had that, I think it was a Nations League match against Bulgaria, and it was Shane Duffy last minute header to rescue a point out there in a game really, you know, where Bulgaria are and where we were, we should have been beating them at that stage. Maybe not so much in the past, but I think now.
Just to say that we did very well in the playoff and took it to penalties and lost to Slovakia. So he kind of had a very encouraging start there. But then, as you say, into the Nations League.
I was a bit critical during those early games, because I felt that we were doing everything right, but it was like Arsenal under Arsene Wenger, where we were killing them with passes but not actually putting the ball in the back of the net. We almost needed to. I remember back when Giovanni Trapattoni was the manager of Ireland, he was so simplistic. I know we had our challenges, but I remember there was one time he gave a message to the team, shoot on sight. I think it was Macedonia at home. And it was when Aidan McGeady scored his first goal for Ireland. And I think it was like a wonky shot, but came off a defender and went in. And it just kind of set the ball rolling. I think in his early days, he overcomplicated things. And then we kind of got things back on track towards the end of the World Cup campaign. My biggest problem, James, is two things. Number one, I do go on the argument that we actually don't have the players. Player for player, pound for pound, if we say we're up against, say, France or we're up against the Netherlands. And it is just look, you can tell the team, the quality of the team by the level that the players are playing at. And you do have Championship versus, say, Champions League. Now, that's a massive gap. So I go along with that viewpoint. I know that that was the big viewpoint against Trapattoni, and it was a viewpoint against Martin O'Neill. Is they were like, we don't have this player or we don't have that player. I kind of agree. We don't have the players to be competing at that level. However, the challenge I have with Stephen Kenny is two things. Number one, his team selections in terms of, you know, when he starts a game. And also the in-game management, you know, to give you an example, we were against the Netherlands and we had a really good first half. We scored the early penalty and they got an equalizer due to a mistake. And early in the second half, I really felt that the Irish team was gassed. I thought we were gassed out early on, even around the 50th minute. Mm. And I said to myself, all we need now is a bit of energy and a bit of pace. And we had Festi Eboselli could come on, Sinclair Armstrong, who we know, like, get game. Festi gets his game in Italy for Udinese. I know he doesn't play every match, but he's got experience. Sinclair has been having a great season so far for QPR. The QPR fans love him. It's week in, week out. Both players, very pacey, very energetic, and we needed the spark. Kenny made the change, bringing on Jamie McGrath in that sense, which is, you know, and I think he brought on Ryan Manning as well at left back, but a real kind of a battling type player. And Jamie McGrath's a bit technical, but he's not going to maybe make a killer break. You just have to look at the time. When was the last time Ireland scored by a break? You know, are we going back to James McLean against Wales or James McLean against Austria away or something like that? I feel like the lack of pace in the side has really killed us, because it just takes away a serious weapon that we have going up against teams. And I've seen it, you know, actually with Stephen Kenny, I would say there's been similar traits to the end of the McCarthy era and the O'Neill era, in the sense that they're picking too much of the dogged players. With a lack of energy. And I think my view now has shifted slightly. I would love a Stephen Kenny type manager who clearly has the best interest of Irish football at heart, but with a little bit maybe more game management, tactical nous, somebody who wasn't afraid to just go for it. Like he was at Dundalk when he was playing against superior teams.
I was on the Irish Abroad podcast and we spoke about this very point, and I think he's actually lost confidence. I think in the early days when he put like Bazunu in goal at 18 and Omo Bamadeli into the team at 18, I think he would have played the likes of Sinclair and put them in for that pace. But he's gotten frightened by his own lack of results and his faith in his own system has been shaken, I think. And I mentioned also, Vinnie Perth, who we've spoken about on this podcast before, who was Kenny's assistant at Dundalk, has been on Irish radio recently on Off the Ball. And he was saying, it was after the French game, and he was saying that the Kenny he knew would take risks, like when Dundalk were in the Europa League or playing Zenit. Was it either in the Europa League or Champions League qualifier?
Yeah, Europa League, yeah. I was at that. I remember being at that game, James, in Tala, and going at them. And then again, I know when they went to St. Petersburg to play them, they went at them, and they nearly got something, you know.
This was his point. This was Perth's point that here were League of Ireland players nowhere near the level of the Champions League, you know, opponents, international, Russian internationals, but they went at them, and he was pleading for Kenny to do that, and I think Kenny has been stung because his philosophy has been so rattled, and he has gone for those. It has affected his in-game, his reactions and his substitutions. And that's natural. It's natural with the results are not coming off. So to go to my original point about the argument for actually keeping him, and it's essentially it's about the philosophy of where does Irish football want to go? Who are the replacements? Do we go for the big name Trapattoni, the glamour name that we've always done, and hope that they come in and somehow drag these, not substandard, but, you know, less quality players, that the level that they're at, does a big name drag them somehow through? And then we get to a tournament and the fans have their ole ole moment on the continent. Or are we at an impasse? And so the Irish women's international manager has just not had her contract renewed, Vera Powell. And there's been an off-the-field controversies. Essentially, she qualified the team for the first ever World Cup. Some people say they could have performed better in Australia. Some people said they performed about as well as they did. But the FAI, with a new director of football, did a review and decided not to renew her contract. Largely, well, not largely, but partly because the players didn't back her. What we see with Kenny is the players backing him. They're coming out saying they back him. And the cynics would say they would have to say that, but they don't have to say it. The women's team didn't do it. So I suppose my point is, if you stuck with Kenny long enough, would these players come good? And is there an argument for doing that?
Interesting enough, you say about, you know, the players love him. And similar to the Steve Staunton era, he loved the players and the players loved him. And it's the same with Stephen Kenny. I don't think we've ever had a Stephen Kenny bust up, you know. We've never had that. And I don't think we ever will, because he's got great interpersonal skills with the players. I think he makes them feel important and they really, really love him. And that's a huge thing. Sticking with him, yes, we're going to have a lot of players in. And I guess the difference with Kenny and maybe previous managers is, for example, Evan Ferguson, he was with the under-21s, he was scored in the under-21s, and Kenny straight up to the senior team. Now, of course, he started doing the things with Brighton. Other managers might have delayed it. Sinclair Armstrong, you know, straight up to the senior team. Yeah. He's not got any fears about bringing them in. But I take your point that boldness of, I don't care, I'm going to put them in. I think they've got so much potential. That's been crowded out by caution. And that's where the more experienced players, he's kind of stuck with the Alan Browns, bringing back in the Stevens and things like that. Going forward, I think keeping Kenny would continue a nice conveyor belt of talent. Bringing in a manager that has, you know, one goal and getting results, you could have a lot, you know, players trying to, you know, more older, experienced players in the mix, and it's just a results game. And, you know, Kenny, one part of his job description is the development of Irish football. So that's key, but I'm not so sure that staying in the role as Ireland international manager is fulfilling that. Wouldn't it be brilliant if he was, say, director of football or something at the FA? I know that horrible cliche job that we hear at clubs, where usually is the kiss of death for the current manager. But I think it's vital having somebody like that involved in the game. And likewise with Brian Kerr. I mean, things ended really, really sour for him when they had the night of the long knives, is what they call it at the FAI, where I believe they were giving him his backing to continue in the job, and it wasn't to be. And Irish football lost a really, really great man in that sense. Maybe not as a you know, could offer so much, maybe not as the international manager, but offer so much. So I think there is a view out there that Stephen Kenny is so good for Irish football, but maybe not for, you know, making those key decisions in the games that matter. But look at the past, James. Other managers, previous managers that were far more experienced have made equal mistakes. We look at that World Cup qualifier against Denmark, where Ireland took the lead in the second leg at home, Shane Duffy with a header. And Denmark scored two quick goals, and it was we're going in at 2-1, I think, at halftime, and there was panic. Two central midfielders were pulled off in a complete kind of panic situation, and Denmark went on to beat Ireland 5-1, destroy us. Ericsson got the ball, and that was all she wrote. But honestly, it's I think he's great for Irish football. I just think for the international team, it might be somebody. I think if we can get that perfect combination with the best interest of Irish football at heart, with a little bit of tactical nous that's willing to put their balls on the line, basically, in such in crucial games like that.
So I want to tease out this best interest of Irish football at heart, because there is a growing mindset shift that the national team manager should be connected to the underage managers, to the League of Ireland, to the schoolboy structures, the schoolboy League of Ireland, as is done in other countries. So you said, you know, I think it's part of his job description. I don't know that it is. And Keith Andrews spoke at a supporters club event here in London, and I asked the question. He told us, basically, all the underage managers meet once a month, and the senior manager or him as assistant manager, they meet every month to discuss tactics, players. So every underage manager knows what the players are doing. They're playing the same system. And I asked him, you know, you don't have to do that. Stephen Kenny doesn't have to implement that. And he said they do it because they love Irish football. So that just twigged in my mind. That's not necessarily being mandated by the FAI that the senior manager needs to do this. So Giovanni Trapattoni never did it. He never attended League of Ireland games. He said there was no league in Ireland. He never even attended Premiership games. Martin O'Neill, okay, Roy Keane did kind of pay lip service to the League of Ireland. I do think he was genuine. Mick McCarthy called up some League of Ireland players both times, actually, when he was manager. But I don't know that it's been mandated by the FAI. So when we talk about the best interests of Irish football at heart, is that what we mean?
I think it's a hard one. It's more when they say the best interest of Irish football at heart, I think there's a lot of, you know, you have to be seen to be doing that. And that's why we saw Martin O'Neill and Roy at League of Ireland games. I think you might have saw Trapp at one game in his time, but agreed that there was no league. Mick McCarthy did go to a few ones, absolutely. And we see Stephen Kenny, of course, going. But interestingly enough, from a League of Ireland background, you know, wasn't as keen on picking League of Ireland players as maybe, you know, McCarthy and, you know, before him. So that was an interesting one. I think when people say about the best interest of Irish football at heart, they maybe want a manager that's going to safeguard the future of Irish football, giving these young players the chance and proper chance. And that an example of that is in a game, maybe a friendly game, maybe not playing some of the tried and trusted quotation mark players in certain positions. You know, that what do we need to see with them? We've seen them so many times, you know, through our multiple failed competitions that we've played in, the failed qualifiers. So I think that's the regard. And, you know, I'm not saying we should go down the road of Wales and capping 16-year-old English-born players just in case they become good, you know. And that, you know, it did quite, you know, Wales got a golden generation out of it, and fair play to them. But we see the kind of situation that they're in recently. It's quite a challenging one for them as well. But ultimately, I think it's a case of doing what we can to promote youth, being obsessed. And that's what Stephen Kenny is. He knows about every single young player that's out there, you know, and not even just in England. Those that are further abroad, I've heard of him. I've heard stories of going over to the States to speak to some Irish players, you know, and keeping in contact. And that's one of the things that maybe some other previous managers may not have done.
I think we can say with confidence that other managers didn't do that, apart from maybe Brian Kerr.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, that's really interesting, because then you go about, you know, picking the player who switches allegiance from England, for example. Like, ultimately, that is to the detriment of a young Irish kid coming through the Irish system now. So I think that's a really interesting point about, yes, safeguarding the future. Like, so that when the next manager comes in, he has players, which Kenny has done, experienced international players, instead of dragging the last dregs out of the guys before, which we have seen previous managers do. And that brings us to another point. So Brian Kerr also came through the League of Ireland and managed Ireland in the mid-2000s. And when his contract wasn't renewed, lots of people, you know, felt he was hard done by, and subsequently turned out that the entire association was being run by kind of cowboys, and that's well documented. But he's been quite critical of Kenny, and many people would have felt he would be more sympathetic to him, having come through the same route. But Kerr did say this week, and I have agreed with him, that the senior Irish team is the engine that drives the whole thing, and qualifying for tournaments is what earns the association money, because, well, forever, the Irish government has shown no appetite to invest in football in Ireland, apart from in kind of bricks and mortar. So in that respect, from Kerr's point of view, the senior manager has to win games. And that brings me to my other point. So that's kind of in some ways, it's in conflict with, you know, a manager that has the best interests of Irish football at heart, so, you know, securing the future, or securing the immediate future with money and qualification. And that's the argument that says Kenny's time is up. It was the experiment didn't work. Now we need someone else. And for many, because it's all we've grown up with, for many Irish fans, that is a big name. And what's your opinion on that?
I always had this opinion, and it's obvious in every walk of life, whether you're in construction or you're in software development or tech, but if you build something on dodgy foundations, no matter how much you patch it up, it's always going to fall down. So if you look at the Irish team, if the foundations is not right, it's always going to be crumbling, and we're always going to be looking at what's a plaster here, what, you know, and that's when you talk about finding players, maybe dual eligibility players, or some, you know, a player that may never make it at England comes on board. It's patching up the big cracks that have always been there. And I think the cracks with the Irish team, particularly in recent times, when the leagues in England have become so competitive, the Premier League is effectively that Super League now, let's be honest. Yeah. It can bring people from all over the world, which means that the clubs themselves, the youngsters coming through at those clubs, they're going to want to promote young English players as opposed to young Irish players. So those get the pathway to mix it in with the superstar foreign players from all around the world. It's made it so much harder. So it's not the senior international manager that's been exposed. It's the foundations of Irish football that has been exposed in this whole situation. So that's the biggest problem that we have. And so many people say that when watching the Irish team, yes, we can criticize the manager. We can say horrendous decisions or crazy team selection. But the biggest problem is the foundations behind that. Why are certain players in the team, or why are certain players in, you know, coming through, and why is, you know, we haven't had a superstar midfielder since Roy Keane, let's be honest.
Or a striker since Robbie Keane.
Exactly. And now
we hope Evan is hopefully our saviour.
Exactly. And he is interesting because he came through, obviously, you know, with, you know, came through Bowes and Kevin's, I think it was. And that was the Kevin's Bowes link, which they had at the time. And then fast tracked through the underage league of Ireland, which, you know, strong player ended up, you know, being pulled. And a lot of
made his senior League of Ireland debut at 14, I think.
That's right, against Chelsea in a friendly. And I remember at the time, Keith Long was the manager of Bohemians at the time. And there was so much controversy in Irish media, and Irish fans were talking about it, that this was wrong. But people like Keith Long, are with the qualities that he has, is going to see these opportunities and fast track these players. And that's what these underage leagues have. But you have to remember, James, these structures that put in, they're finally starting to bear some fruit for us.
Yes.
But other countries, they did this years ago. They are so far ahead of us. We talk about Latvia, and I know we defeated them in a friendly 3-2. We were 2-0 up and they came back. But their under 21 side, I think, drew with Italy recently. You know, they pick up results now and again. You see a lot of these countries in Europe that used to be, say, a handy 2 or 3 nil win, that's not the case anymore. They're getting their structures in order. You spoke about Luxembourg. I think they had their senior team had a win over Iceland, I think it was.
They've beaten us. I think they've beaten France. Now, at the time we're talking, they've just been thumped by Portugal. But I think that's, you know, a bit, Portugal could probably do that to us.
They're still susceptible to a hammering, you know, but a lot of these clubs, they're putting structures in place, and a lot of these countries, I should say, they're a bit ahead of us with that.
They're way ahead of us.
Yeah.
We haven't invested in any facilities. Our League of Ireland grounds are crumbling. We have no academies. They're way ahead of us. So, like, is it any wonder we are where we are?
It's no wonder, absolutely, because our players, the players coming up in Ireland, you know, when you were 14, you were shipped off to England. But firstly, when the Brexit new rules came in, Irish players can no longer move until 18 years old. And plus, it's extra harder now because those that do move are competing with not just English players at these academies, but players from all over the world coming into. Look at what Newcastle are doing. They're doing a world tour of their academy. I think Manchester City set up like a shadow academy in Africa, picking the best players a good few years ago. The challenges now is so much different. We've got young Irish players now from the League of Ireland, giving up playing, getting senior minutes in the League of Ireland to go and play in continental leagues,
which we've never seen before.
Whether it's a good thing or a bad thing, it's harder. I think it's a harder challenge for our guys, James, because we can look at players like, say, young Kevin Zeffie coming through at Shamrock Rovers. When Shamrock Rovers had the B team, they allowed them to play, I think, a season in Division One in the League of Ireland. That's senior football, and this guy was playing there at 16 years old. Goes to Inter. I don't think he ever made it past under 19s or under 21 level there. It's a different, You play senior level at such a young age, you're up against grown men who know the tricks of the trade. It's the ultimate. And you're playing in matches where managers' jobs are on the line and things like points are, you know, to be played for. So it's a whole different experience. Look at the players. Ferguson was coming through at Bowes and getting his game. He looked like a superstar back then, and he's proven it. Some of those players break the mold. They can go over early, I think because of his mother being English, he was able to get around that. But he was a player that would break the mold and make it through either. For the rest of them, I still feel that if they're getting senior minutes at senior football, whether it be in the League of Ireland, is much more valuable than going to an academy. If that makes sense.
Yes. And Brian Kerr made the same point that because of what you've just talked about, we're now depending on the League of Ireland to develop our players in a way that we probably haven't since the 1930s or 40s or 50s. And arguably there's been no investment since the same period. And that brings me on to my next question. The Irish fan base is exceptionally fractured. And I've spoken on a podcast before. The day Kenny got the job, you would have a cohort that have just said he's out of his depth. They just dismiss the League of Ireland. And there's another question. I, for one, argue he's not out of his depth because he's proven how to make players from a lower level compete with players at far greater level, which is exactly what we want in the Irish team. I mean, he did this at domestic level. You have another cohort who backed him and are losing faith, probably like myself and yourself, probably feel time is up. You have another smaller cohort who say, let him stick with it. It's getting there slowly and surely because of the things we've talked about. And you have a cohort that... You spoke about the cracks and the foundations who just want the glamour name to paper over those cracks. And we're hearing names like Rafa Benitez and Roy Keane. So I want to put something to you again to play devil's advocate, and we could do it together. Sam Allardyce is laughed out of the room. I think there's a silent cohort who would welcome Sam Allardyce in the morning. So for the sake of debate, I want to know what the argument against Sam Allardyce is. He's played in the League of Ireland. At one point, he was deemed good enough to manage England. He's managed in the Premier League. You called on Big Sam to keep you in the Premier League. I'm not saying we want Sam Allardyce. What I'm saying is everybody laughs when you say Sam Allardyce. I want to know why they laugh. And it's partly because the pint of wine and the secret shake. I want to know what everybody's laughing at, because there's a lot of people would take him in the morning, or someone like him, a big name to paper over the cracks.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. It takes me a little bit back to just before Giovanni Trapattoni got the job for Ireland, and there was Terry Venables was getting touted for it. I think a lot of people, it's based around the type of football. Sam Allardyce was a very practical manager. We saw what he had done with Bolton. I know he had some challenges in other clubs, the likes of Newcastle, and that it was more of a challenge for him. I think a lot of fans would prefer Ireland playing a certain brand, at least try to show a little bit of panache. And I think when people think about Sam Allardyce, they're thinking short-term mentality. Mm-hmm. And that's a difficult thing for people when the long-term future of Irish football is at stake, based on the national team. That's the challenge, because we know that the whole model had been broken. It's the whole thing has been broken, you know, whether it be an organization full of controversy. we need a manager that's going to say, there's something coming and I want to help steer that. Whereas maybe people feel that Sam Allardyce was about, you know, a lot about elevating himself. I'm not sure. I think maybe that's a little bit unfair. I have no doubt if he did take the job, he would do his best. He would absolutely bring a tactical nous and he'd keep it simple. The players would have that clear idea of how he wanted them to play. Where sometimes I think what Stephen Kenny was trying to do was a little bit too technical. One of my big criticisms of the way we played was we didn't seem to put enough crosses into the box. And that seems like a fundamental thing of the game to, you know, score goals when you're in around those positions. We seem to be a little bit too patient in attack. I think Sam Allardyce would be very different. He'd be get the ball in the box. You saw what he used to do with Bolton with the long throws and things like that. It was very, very effective. I just think that Irish football is at such a delicate place now that we need somebody who really, really cares about it, somebody about the future. You know, if you take, I don't want to throw names out there, but, you know, Damien Duff, for example, at Shelburne, while his senior management career is still in his infancy, you'd have no doubt that he has a clear philosophy on how he wants his teams to operate. He's absolutely a motivator. There's no doubt about that. And he's got the best interest of Irish football at heart. He actually is offended if things don't go his way. And he's not afraid to say it. Tell it as it is, whereas we've seen other managers that often protect the players, but he's also at one with the team. And I think Stephen Kenny was as well, in fairness. So him and Kenny have a lot of similarities in that sense. With Big Sam, I think you'd get you might get something a little bit different. So I just think it might be a step too far for our hearts are a little fragile at the moment, James. Yeah. And I just think we need to be, as the travelling Wilburys say, handled with care.
No, I think you've put it brilliantly, Dave. But, and I'm not advocating at all, but I think everybody just laughs the name out of the room. And I wanted to interrogate why. But I think a lot of the people... I think there's some people who would jump at the chance or would take a Rafa Benitez or a Claudio Ranieri or a Roy Keane, which would be doing exactly the same thing. I think so. I wanted to interrogate it. I think you've done a great job of it. And I think as we kind of come to the end of our conversation, it's been fascinating because there's so many facets to this. And we are at such a delicate place now, where all these things have coming together, the neglect of the League of Ireland, to focus on it now, the restructuring of Irish football. This next managerial appointment seems really important.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. It's going to be huge, James. It needs to be right, and it needs to have impact, and it's got to have a bit of tactics. If you look at it, there's almost every kind of group in international football for qualifying tournaments has very different type of games. You come against the big team where you need the motivation, the rush of blood to the head, the belting out the anthem. That's your France's and your Netherlands. Then you've got other teams, the likes of of Greece, where it's never going to be a free flowing, wow, what a game we got at them. It's not. It's going to be slow. It's going to be dogged. It's going to be very frustrating. You never, you know, away to Serbia, you're never going to get these places, these games. We've never had a, wow, what an exciting game. The crowd were going crazy. You're never going to have that. So these are the ones where the tactical know-how is, you know, we go out against France, say the France game in the Aviva Stadium, we lost 1-0, right? Almost scored an equaliser and probably deserved to at least to get a draw out of that game. That's great game. It's free-flowing. They catch us on the counter. We attack them. Really exciting game. You get Greece in that sense. It's not going to be like that. And those are the ones where you need a little bit of a ruthless, whether it be more pragmatic, pop the ball over the top in there, knowing how, you know, a lot of, and I thought a lot of Irish fans were talking about just before the Greece game, going over to Athens in scorching hot heat and saying, we got to do the same as what we did at home, in the same mentality as at home. It's never going to be like that. We could replace Greece with Cyprus. Same, it will be the same thing. It's going to be a slow, dogged Georgia, another team. This is where the tactical know-how comes in. And, you know, if you look back through our history, the likes of Trapattoni, whether we were away to Macedonia or, you know, whenever we were playing these type of games, he was quite good at them.
He'd get the result.
Getting over Cyprus away, I think it was 2-0 or 3-0, we beat them away. It was just the little bit of tactics where even if we were defending, we'd have ways of counter-attacking and we'd score and then we'd defend again and things like that.
Horrible to watch.
You're never going to get a game like that against these type of teams. They're always scraps.
Yeah.
And that's the different challenge. That's why I say in these groups, we're not like England where we can dominate the ball in every single match and dominate from start to finish with wave after wave of attack, because every player that England have, whether it be in the midfield, even the defenders, are so good on the ball and just so attacking minded. They're always looking for that killer pass. So they can play that type of game where it's wave after wave of attack. And even their fans give out stink if they haven't gone in, you know, away from home, say against Poland, 2-0 up at halftime. You know, we don't have that. It's going to be a scrap. It's going to be dogged. It's not going to be an exciting game to watch. So that's where you need the manager that makes ballsy tactic decisions. Against the top teams, yeah, we can get the motivation, we can go at them, we might lose, but they'll be exciting. But against, it's those kind of, I won't say tier two and tier three teams, where it requires that little bit of know-how. And there is managers out there that can do it, I believe. The problem is we still need to safeguard Irish football for the future, because I do believe there's a lot of hope there. We've got a lot of good players coming through and we need to get them in. I'm not saying go gung-ho like Wales and put a team of 16, 17-year-olds in there, but I think we could do a lot more of it, particularly in friendlies or games where we've already won them. You know, it's a done deal. You know, you should be playing these bringing on these players and not so relying on the classic tried and trusted.
Dave, been a brilliant conversation. You're as passionate as ever. And it's item number one, as you say, on all the news bulletins, because the Irish football team matters so much to people. I hope we gave it a bit of a different slant on this show today, but it's been brilliant to have you on. So thanks for joining us.
Thanks, James.
That's it for the latest episode. Visit poguemagol.com for feature articles on football culture from around the world, and check out past issues of the magazine on our online store. And join us next time on the Pogue Magol podcast.